I want to call this meeting back in order, please. And the Solid Waste Division is up next.
Okay.
Yeah, Kevin is coming back.
Right.
He'll be back.
I'm not sure. Is that his coffee right here?
Sit right there, buddy.
Okay, I will.
Is that your coffee?
That's not my coffee, but I don't want to spill it. Because I will.
Somebody else's.
Sorry.
Is that your coffee?
That's my coffee.
Oh, okay.
I do. I walked downstairs and back
okay.
up.
Kevin?
Yes.
I need to know how I move this thing.
Well, you move forward with this little one over here.
Well, okay. The red one?
The red one.
I'm liking it.
Forward. The top
okay.
button there. Going this way. That's
okay.
to go
yep.
forward.
Yep.
So we need to turn on the screen.
It's
so.
Kind of like a sled.
There you go.
Okay. Are we ready?
We are.
Okay. Alrighty, I've got a little different type of presentation than what you've been hearing. I'm going to try to look at this from, since we're an enterprise fund, I'm going to try to give you a big picture sense of where we are now, where I want to go next year, and what the next 5 years is going to look like so that you have a better feel for the picture. Okay, so basically, our budget... in spite of the fact that we'll have all the new functions at the recycling center operational, and we've included the additional fringes and a number of other things, we are not eliminating or reducing programs. We are fairly constant in our expenditures. We're anticipating a lower revenue only because we are losing about $200,000 worth of grants that we've had on that are ending basically that have been paying for certain things within our programs. I am anticipating that, and I'll talk about this more, that the revenues that we've had for the sale of recyclables, which have been absolutely astronomical, and that's going to affect some points I'm going to make, are going to be probably about 15 to 20% lower, but still high compared to the norm. So basically, you see there that that there is a component of utilizing our fund balance in 2011, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute in terms of 2012. The real picture of my budget is stability. I'm recommending that we stay the same with respect to our fees and other factors, and I'll talk about that. The staffing also is the same that I'm recommending for next year. My staff is now becoming about 25% younger than it was a couple of years ago. I absolutely am starting to feel like the grandma of solid waste. To be honest with you, I have four. This is all good. You know, succession planning never hurt anybody. We have four under the age of 30 and only one who's in their 30s. So there's quite a diversity. And quite frankly, we are going to be looking at least two retirements in the next 5 years. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I'm not included, unfortunately, in that statistic. So with that, okay, this is what's really important here. We have a debt annually right now in the solid waste budget that's about $1 million. Believe it or not, some of us have been here for a long enough time, Frank, you and myself and maybe Dooley, that we can remember when we started funding the original, the old landfills we closed, the original recycling center, as well as the landfill that wasn't. And believe it or not, at the end of 2013, the old landfills and the old debt will be retired. That's about $500,000. That's about $400,000. The debt for the old recycling center will be retired at the end of 2014. That doesn't mean that our budget's going down. by $1 million then, because, of course, you've got cost of living increases for every contract that I have, et cetera. But what it does mean is that we're going to have a very different picture in 2015, and we have many choices. I am glad that I am still here to be able to say that, because it was something that we said way back when I was just, I had little babies, and now they're off on their own. So what this is all about is we keep a 10% fund balance on the solid waste budget, unlike the county budget. What does that mean? We have a $6.25 million budget, so roughly speaking, we keep at least $650,000. Right now, the fund balance is at about, don't surprise me here.
$1,097,000.
All right. I was going to say $1 million, so that's a positive surprise. And so what that means is that we're still, even if nothing good happened, we would still have the required fund balance. But, so I mentioned the debt. I'm recommending stability with the annual fee until the old debt is retired. And here's something for you to know. Because the recycling revenues have been so high, and this company has done, you know, quite well for us, I'm expecting, right now our surplus is about $400,000. I'm expecting by year end we'll have a good solid $500,000. What does that mean? It means what we were going to take from the fund balance this year, about $250,000, we're not going to have to do. And it also means that we've got some surplus going into next year to chop away at that $400,000 figure you just saw. And I don't think our expenses are going to wind up giving us a lot of extra, but I will tell you that our fund balance is going to be in a very good position. Now, remember, we have a lot of unknowns next year. We're starting up the commercial recycling this week. We're starting up the dump and bale recycling this week. We're starting that waste diversion, the pulling of the seven things from the waste stream. We have certain good predictions for revenues, but again, I never trust anybody with that. Neither does Frank. We talk about that, right?
You got that.
Yeah? And therefore, and I'm also trying to increase waste diversion next year. Our goal is 75% by the end of 2015, and that's why I'm not changing any programs, because we're heading in the right direction. We have a lot of very important initiatives, and I'm figuring that we'll be at about 63%. Solid waste plan is halfway done with that. Should be done in the next few months once we can get this thing fully operational and we're not, you know, so overwhelmed. But we're moving along, and you know, again, I think the 75% target is dependent on all these functions at the recycling center, and it's also dependent on organics. It's dependent on composting of organics, not just from the business sector that we're doing, but growing a residential collection program once our debt is retired. Actually, we're going to start to do some pilot work on that after 2012, possibly. Anyway, those are the real big picture items. Now, I can leave you today. You know what I do. I do these summary three-page documents that have 2011, 2012. It has all my eight programs on this. It has what the fund balance is, and it tells you what the annual fee projection is. And I will hand that out when we're. I deliberately didn't hand it to you right now because you'd be looking at it.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm going to go ahead and give that to you for if anything else comes up. And I will have. I've already delivered a draft 5-year budget. I have to do that because if you're an enterprise fund, you need to know where you're going. So we're going to have that as a draft after Kevin and Joe. They've received it. We've talked about it, and we have a little more to do on that. That'll come to the committee, and I'm thinking about bringing it in November only because it might be useful. There are some of you, including Mike, that derive a lot of pleasure from knowing where, you know, what the annual fee might or could be. And I will tell you that I am looking between adding organic slowly, if all things go the way I think, and I've been realistic, not necessarily conservative, I have included some retirements in this without replacements. You know, we could be looking at an annual fee of about $50 from 2015 on, understanding there's going to be about $500,000 in costs associated with who knows what. I haven't even figured any of the fringes, but, you know, the cost of things going up in every way, including transportation and many other things. So we have a good picture. We're financially stable right now. I'm saying rather than tinkering around with this annual fee by a dollar or whatever, let's stay the course. Let's see what all these functions at this facility do. Let's see what my projections are next year. Let's look into planning an organics diversion program, and then let's look at the balance between reducing the annual fee and keeping programs stable to reach our goal of 75%. I don't think I have anything on this next slide. So I tried to keep this simple. I also hope that you guys will be able to come to our facility. We do have our reopening on October 7th at 8:30 with a light breakfast and some tours that are going to be provided. There'll be like a tiny little bit of talking, but very little. It'll be focusing on tours, seeing what you paid for, seeing what these machines do, and better understanding the observation walkway that we paid for a long time ago and how much you can see. Remember, with this opening, all the functions are ready, but there are a number of improvements to make this facility more user-friendly. We're kicking off an outreach campaign, and we will be tweaking this as we go. So any input or anything you want to say or suggest, I've gotten several already today, I'm welcoming with open arms, and we are finally at that point where we can actually celebrate, I think.
Thank you. Other questions?
I just want to, you did mention that most of that will be retired by 2014, but we did we did issue $2.5 million
in order to
complement the improvements.
Yeah, this is a very important point.
Of which hopefully we'll get substantial grant to recover some of that.
Yeah, no, we'll get this grant. We got a grant this year. Lo and behold, we got a check for $350,000 from the state, New York State DEC for education. It was for 5 years. We actually got a check. So.
Peter, and then Mike.
I got a bunch of questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Roll them out.
Are you looking at me or?
Yeah, I am. The side doesn't turn. Sorry.
No, all right. This $56, that gets added to the property tax. Is that right for every household?
Or? It's a separate line that pays for all the non-disposal costs.
All right. Yep. What does organic mean?
It means stuff that you can actually turn into soil. So it means yard waste and leaves. It means food waste.
Is that the same as compost?
It turns into compost.
Okay.
So it's the raw food. It's paper products. It's, meat bones, a million things. It's
yeah, but I see, for instance, College Town Bagels, they have three things,
they
and
do.
One of them is compost. Is that what's meant by organic?
Yep, they're doing a terrific job. They've reduced their waste. I'm sure they're at 75% reduction of their waste. The county's role is not to pay for the collection for businesses, but to pay for the actual composting, which is about $40 a ton. And it costs us about $1.50 on the annual fee.
Okay. And the last question I had is I just noticed that Cornell is seems to be doing single stream around the campus. Do they feed it into you, or is that independent?
Yes. To answer your question most simply, yes. The Cornell University has a new and excellent solid waste manager. Her name is Spring Buck. She also serves on the Environmental Management Council. We have a really good partnership. She has great plans for Cornell, like I do for the county. And they're considered high fiber commercial line recyclables. There are payments for when we're fetching high revenue. We have been and we will continue to share revenue, or we wouldn't get the material in the door. We actually lost quite a bit of material, quite frankly, this year when we weren't able. When our functions weren't working and we were under construction and the material, the recyclables, some of it wound up going by other haulers other than Casella to other facilities. So it's a very, very, very competitive market right now.
Mike, please.
Mike.
Well, yeah, I could be accused of playing with the solid waste fee, but I think I'm kind of serious about this because I still remember when it was imposed and all the controversy, and I know how hard it is for people on their tax bill. If you have a duplex house, you're paying twice the amount of that on top of your regular tax. Our pricing is based on the commodity market. Our revenues, I should say, is based on the commodity market. In the past, when commodities were good and the fund balance increased, we were able to share some of that with our property owners by reducing the solid waste fee some. Barbara, I know that's never been your favorite place to propose. You've always had you haven't had difficulty proposing to increase the solid waste fee when commodity prices were down. But I think in a time like this, we don't need to wait 2 years. I think we could reduce the solid waste fee some this year for people. And then we could reduce it more in 2 years, if indeed. What I worry about is that idea of reducing the solid waste fee will be displaced by other potential spending in that department for new programs or other things that will not share the same improved prices with our property owners. So I think we should be reducing this, even if it's only a dollar or two this year.
Well, a dollar or two is a lot. A dollar or two, I did a sensitivity analysis on what impact it would have to reduce that annual fee by a dollar. And what you need to remember, it's not just this year, it's a cumulative impact year over year in terms of how it affects the budget. My budget is not being reduced next year. Okay, compared with this year because of the loss in the grant revenue. I think I would agree with you if we weren't losing a couple hundred thousand dollars that we're not going to have. The other thing is the risk. We haven't started yet with these functions that we talked about. And, you know, we're not going to be able to be successfully predicting until we see that. The other thing is I'm telling you that the revenue is going down next year from what it is today. And it's going down about 20%. And what happened, let's not forget what happened to us a few years ago, as much as I quietly dealt with it, we lost $800,000 as a result of the economic downturn in our recycling revenues. So what did I do? I saw that in November and December of the prior year. I went in and I did my best at eliminating certain things in the budget. And then, of course, we took a hit. We wound up taking a huge hit in our fund balance, and luckily we had that fund balance. If I had a 5% requirement for a fund balance, I think, Mike, that what you'd be saying would be perfectly reasonable. But a 10% fund balance when we aren't, what happens if we do lose a couple hundred thousand dollars next year in recycling revenue? What happens if we do? What does that mean? That means the fund balance is going to go below the required amount, and that means that we have no chance of doing the kind of reduction that's reasonable. To me, as long as we have that, as long as our costs are stable, and our debt is still high, and David's right, we're going to be adding $150,000-$170,000 in debt as a result of building the new facility. I think that stability and looking at where we're at for the following year. I was saying actually 2015 and 16 when the debt was retired, but we can do a really good evaluation of where our budget stands in May when we're starting to budget for the future. I just think we're cutting it too short too quickly.
In short, I don't think you agree with Mike on that, right? Is there someone else?
I think that might be true.
Carol, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, but we still admire each other greatly.
It sounds like a great committee discussion, though. Go ahead.
Yes. Thanks, Barb, for coming and giving us such a clear explanation of where you stand. I'm noticing that you, in 2010 and before, actually, you've been going down in staff by half a staff person a year for 3 years. And with your new center opening, what were your considerations about whether you could handle that with the 14?
Well,
point,
we had 14. We had 15 last year, and actually we were able to reduce that to 14.5. And I don't know where that is. Where is that? Oh, we had 14.5. We had 15.5 in 2009. So we're now talking about a stability. This isn't a time to be looking at reducing staff. We have a lot of outreach, a lot of work to do to get those recyclables in the door so that we can maintain the revenue, so that we can increase revenue from the stuff coming in. I'll tell you right now, we've done some survey work. The new materials that we've added and the single stream, it's not happening the way we want it to. We have more public communication and education to do. And quite frankly, that's where a lot of this outreach is gonna happen. Not a time to reduce in terms of watchdogging and making sure that Reed Community is doing the best job that they can. I will say that what we're looking at is when we have a reduction, due to retirement, we certainly will look at what we have. Remember, we're a very different office than a lot of them. We see 150,000, 200,000 customers. Never do we see less than two or three at a given time at our office. And so we really have to maintain that kind of quality, and we can certainly talk about the staffing and more details about it in committee.
No, I think I was asking the other direction.
Oh,
that
that's
if
funny.
You're losing, if you're concerned about whether you're going to be able to maintain the business you need to, can you do that with,
this isn't a
with
time,
the staff
this
you've got?
This isn't a time to be raising staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? Julie.
I'm just curious. You have weigh scales at your place. Does our weights and measures department check your scales?
Yes.
So that was one of...
We pay them to do it, actually. Yeah. Yep.
God, I hope so. Get
yes,
that guy
remember,
doing something.
And remember, we have new weigh scales thanks to your approval. Yes.
But you have contracts also for the weigh scales.
We have a contract with the scale company. It's a 5-year contract, and there's warranties and there's required maintenance that they have in their contract.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Barbara.
You're very welcome. Yep. Thank you.
Workforce development.
It's nice to have you sitting here.
Thank you, Barbara.
You guys can take it.
Go ahead, you're on.
Great, okay. So Diane and I just want to thank you for the opportunity to talk to you tonight and give you a quick overview of our budget request and just a couple of highlights of things, some of the things that have happened around workforce development in the last year. So in terms of our budget, you are seeing a slight increase in our expenditures and revenues in our budget, and that is predominantly due to increase in revenue from two funding sources. In the past, we have spoken to you a little bit about the issue that we have with many of our funding sources that have very little program or administration dollars. So the increases, and that has been the trend that we've seen on the federal and state level. So we've seen some increases in funding sources moving into 2012, but those funding sources generally do not include program and administrative dollars. Our full-time equivalents in terms of staffing between 2011 and 2012 has stayed level, and we anticipate that through at least early 2013. In terms of our over-target requests at this point, that are Joe's recommendation included our over-target requests for the Workforce Investment Board and Employment and Training within the tax cap. As you can see, our total over-target requests are roughly $36,000. Joe has recommended those within the cap. So we're just going to highlight real quickly a couple of things. Over the last year, we have served over 2,500 people between July 2010 and June 30th. Those numbers have stayed pretty stable over the last year. I will say that the area that we've seen the largest increase in is the average number of visits for individuals coming into the one-stop center. So 2 years ago, our average was about 1.8 visits per customer. Our visit average is now at 3.8 visits per customer. And that is because we're seeing, every day you're hearing on the news about the increase in the long-term unemployed. That's because we're seeing a big increase in the number of folks who are long-term unemployed. They're taking longer and longer to find employment, and we've seen that in average number of times individuals come into the Career Center. Just to give you kind of a snapshot in terms of the unemployment rate, it is trending down some from 6.1% over 2010 to 5.9% so far in 2011 timeframe. So it is trending down, but as I mentioned earlier, we're also seeing an increase in individuals in terms of the number of visits coming in the door. You know, the unemployment rate is not a great measure of what's actually occurring in our economy. Generally, when we look at what the impact of the unemployment rate is, and we factor in students at Cornell University and Ithaca College tend to impact our rate as well, we generally average in at least a 1% increase in unemployment based on what we're actually the statistics related to the students. So generally, when we look at a 5.9% unemployment rate, our statistical analysis is that it's actually closer to a 6.9% when you factor in the students and the part-time students working and seeking to work part-time. A couple of other things that we want to highlight is that one of the trends that we're also seeing is over the last year we've seen a decrease. We've continued to see a decrease in the number of job openings that are posted through the one-stop system. And one of our big focuses for 2011 and throughout the rest of 2011 is really focusing on reaching out to businesses and increasing the number of job openings that we have in our system. We have the ability to match customers in that system with our 2,500 customers in that system with the job openings, but we can't do that without the information. So we've had a real focus on increasing the number of job openings in our system. If you have an opportunity to talk to employers, speak it up for us, talk it up for us. One of the things that we've also been able to do over the last year is we have a system in New York State where we can index employers' websites and pull their job openings right off of their website if they're posting it on the web without any human interaction at all. And that is something that has been huge for us to get an increase in the number of job openings that we have in the system.
There's two things also that I want to mention about the limited job opportunities. There are people right now that would like to move away from their jobs or transition into other jobs, but are really staying put. They're hearing the messages, there's not jobs out there, and so on. So that the regular churn that would typically be in the job market is not there right now. We also have a lot of retirees or folks that are getting towards the older years where they could consider other kinds of options and are not right now, again, because of the economic times and so on. So those two factors alone have really limited job opportunities. The one thing that we have really focused on this year in particular is the job connection. And one of the things we consistently see are there are job seekers and there are jobs, but there aren't necessarily matches. And so a lot of our funding this year has really been invested in training and retraining, really looking at people's skill sets, looking at those transferable skills, looking to see where and how they could fit within the jobs that are open now, and then looking at a 3 to 5 year plan for them. And so this year, with our regular Workforce Investment Act dollars, we've been able to invest $98,000 into training and retraining the customers at Workforce New York, and then working with our other training providers to make sure that that money stays local. And then, you know, fortunately, this past year we had large numbers from BorgWarner and Emerson actually complete years of training. In 2008, 2009, when many of those layoffs started happening, we had large numbers of folks in the manufacturing field that really needed to reconsider other kinds of options. And we've had large numbers be able to do that. We're at the $250,000 mark ever since the layoffs have begun, and we're now starting to celebrate that they're finishing those degrees and getting and re-entering the workforce.
Let me just mention that that is over, the $250,000 is over the last couple of years. That's not a one-year number. And that is specific training that we receive from USDOL targeted toward individuals from Emerson and BorgWarner. And so that is additional federal dollars that we've been able to bring into the system in order to train those individuals. So one of the things I want to highlight is is some of the performance that we have related to the one-stop system. And I'm just going to highlight one particular area. We have other performance measures, but I want to highlight one particular area, and that is of the unemployed customers placed and retained in employment from it at Tompkins Workforce New York. The average earnings of those individuals is $31,441,000 a year. And based upon the number of customers we see, that's greater than $30 million in wages for individuals that have been placed and retained through the one-stop system. And so I just wanted to highlight one particular area related to performance. We also track our retention rate, our placement rates, our retention rates for individuals, and then also the wages earned. Do you want to speak on?
For folks that come into the center that are considered displaced, meaning that they were either laid off or they left employment, maybe not on their own, we have a 69% employment rate, and that's been holding pretty steady. And I think our highest was about 73%, so we're really very, very satisfied with the level of jobs and placement into the workforce that we've been able to maintain. For our adult customers, who are folks that are either transitioning or currently holding jobs but still want to consider transitioning into another one, the placement rate is 64%. So we're still doing, I think, in very adequate and actually in some of the top numbers throughout the state.
I mentioned earlier that we are looking at, one of our goals in 2011 was to increase our business services, and the primary reason for that was to increase the number of job orders that we have coming into our system so that we have more options for individuals to match the opportunities with job seekers. And so we've been increasing our business services. And then also one of the products that we tend to pull out during a down economy is what's called on-the-job training. On-the-job training is where we're training individuals, but that are placed directly into employment. So we're pretty much assured that they will be a successful placement versus sending them to college, whether it's community college or Empire State, or a BOCES program where we're not 100% assured that those individuals will be placed into employment. During economic downturns, we tend to focus more on the job training, and that is a business service as well as a great service for job seekers, and that's an area we've really focused on in 2011 and plan to for 2012 as well.
And then one of the last things we'd like to highlight is the One Stop Center is really a local collaborative among other 11 other partners that focus on either employment or training opportunities. There's been a number of different local collaborations right now that are bringing additional funds into the area. A couple highlights are the Educational Resources Grant was shared by four of the partners, and it's bringing in over $250,000 into the area to help people get ESL training or their prep work for their GED classes and to get diplomas completed. We're pretty excited about that. We also are working with the Hospitality and Tourism Grant and created a number of different training opportunities for people that are at entry level who are maybe not making minimum or livable wages and so on, so we can improve their status and their work environment. The WIB also has been working very closely with a couple different organizations to bring additional disability resources into the community, called the DEI grant. So there's money to be had out there. It's just a lot more strenuous to get out there, and it's all wrapped up in collaborations, which we're really all about.
Okay, thank you. Are any questions? I see Brian.
Again, let me refer to the colored sheets here. It appears to me you got priority one, priority two, and then on the next page, priority one, priority two, which are essentially the same thing with different amounts. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, Kevin, if you could explain those real quick. And also, is it possible that one's under 2.9 and the other's 5.4?
So it's actually there's two components to workforce development. There's the Workforce Investment Board and there's the Employment and Training. And so between those two, the first priority one OTRs for this organization, those are for those two components, and priority two is the next level. So as we talked about, priority one was initially going to be the difference between the 11.2% cut and the 7.8% cut. That's what the dollar amounts would have worked out for workforce development. Okay. I do want to note that when you look at the budget book, it looks like they have a zero net local. It's because it comes through a inner fund distribution, and you can find that on section four. Or section 3.
237.
237. In section 3, 237, you'll see the dollar amounts in total amount of money that we give to workforce development.
All right. So the sum total of all the OTRs
is
comes out of CAP.
Comes under the CAP. All four of them do, yeah.
Okay.
You mentioned about the problem getting employers to use your service. Why do you think that is? Are they using competitive services of some kind, or they don't know about it? What is it?
I think it's a combination of things. Over the in the past, during an economic environment in which there are lots of employers, or there are lots of job openings that are out there. It's a more competitive environment. We tend to have not enough job seekers. Employers tend to go to places like Craigslist, to places like, you know, lots of different sites to post their jobs. And during an economic downturn, they tend to be more interested in using services like ours because we have the capability of screening individuals for employers and only referring them folks who are meet their qualifications. And so, you know, we've seen a decrease over the last couple of years, over the last 5 years overall, but we're now starting to see small increases in those numbers. And so it's a combination of different factors. I think that we have not done as much screening, and that is an area where we're really increasing quite a bit and hoping that that will really result in additional job openings as well as using the ability to index employer websites.
Anyone else? Duly.
This may be a question for Kevin instead of for the people on the hot spot. I'm having trouble in section 3, page 448, 9, and so forth, because when you look at staffing levels for different programs, there are numbers for this year or for 2012, but it's the previous year says things like percent sign of 3, percent of 7, and I don't know how to read that. Do you know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Yeah, and we're making every effort to fix those as we move forward. I mean, this is a very large document, and I must have missed those.
So there's no particular way that's not a code or something. Okay.
Yeah, that was originally when that information was collected. I did not get a chance to ask departments to fix those, so we'll work on those for the future.
We'll get back to you. Okay. Anyone else? Thank you both very much.
Okay.
Human Service Coalition and associated agencies. And OER. Thank you both very much.
Good evening. Do I get to start without the buttons? I can do it anyway. It's nice to see everyone tonight, and I just want to start off by thanking everyone here for all the support they've always given to the coalition and they give the agencies that we represent. I know this is your second night out late, so we'll try to be brief. We aren't going to. I noticed that no one introduced themselves, but I'm Kathy Schlatter. This is Nancy Burstyn, my associate director. We're going to try to be brief and not tell you about all the wonderful things the coalition has done, but just talk about our over-target requests. I was going to ask Jim if he wants us to do all three presentations before questions.
Yes.
Or one at a time. All three
no.
before questions. That's the way we'll go.
That's what he said.
Do all three, and then we'll do questions.
Okay. I also wanted to just take a minute and thank Joe, the empty chair, and Kevin for all the work they did on the budget, because it's a huge, huge job. This is the recommended budget. I just wanted to bring to your attention, this is a little different than you have seen it for all the years you have seen it. This is the first year that the three programs of the coalition, Human Service Planning, Health Planning Council, and Information Referral, have all been bundled into one expenditure. Wanted to bring that to your attention because they're unbundled for the next slide. So this represents the over-target requests. The first one is Human Service Planning, second one is Health Planning Council, third one is Information Referral, and that's that's the recommended difference between the two targets. The next two are over-target requests that were recommended by the county administrator. I talked about the first three are for the separate programs, and we're asking for the funds to just allow maintenance of operation. I did put that up because we were told that we would be seeing a between 17% and 20% increase in our health insurance this coming year, which is going to be hard to take. Well, also, as most of you know, after a long wait, we will be moving out of the Women's Community Building, and that is something else that is going to put a strain on our budget in this upcoming year. So.
That's an excellent.
Oh, that is an excellent. Sorry. OTR 42 is a continuation of one-time funding that we've been getting for the last couple of years. It is it supports human service planning. It's used to support collaborative grant writing. In this past year, that ability to do this collaborative grant writing has resulted in grants coming in communities, such as the Falls Prevention Grant, that actually has six separate partners, COFA, Lifelong, Emergency Response, Visiting Nurse Services, Finger Lakes Independence Center, and the Ithaca College Gerontology Institute. That is a $100,000 grant for 2 years. The Creating Healthy Places grant is predominantly the Human Service Coalition Health Planning Council working with the Health Department and Cornell Cooperative Extension of Tompkins County, and that grant is for $240,000 a year for 5 years. There are other grants that we were working on. Those are two that we received the past year. It also supports staff time for the Ithaca Tompkins Continuum of Care. That is a big collaborative project. We have 30, 40 organizations in and out, and it deals with homeless housing. Increasingly, the HUD is tying that into any kind of funding it's giving to a community to run homeless housing. We run monthly whole continuum meetings and subcommittee meetings around a lot of different issues. And the coalition is the staff support for that committee, and we receive no administrative funding. We write the grant that brings in about between $200,000 and $250,000 a year to support homeless housing in the community. And they talk about putting an administrative component into this, but so far there are no administrative funds for this. It also supports the workshop series. I even did a graph. So we have nearly 60 workshops scheduled for the 2011-2012 workshop series. And I just wanted to show you a little how the series has grown since it began in 2007 with five workshops. We're almost up to 60. And last year we had 717 participants in the workshop series. So we're very proud of that. OTR 43 is we ask for target funding for the information referral 211. This replaces some of the lost revenues. When we lost the state funding a number of years ago, we were funded through some of the Housing First, HPRP funding, and that has gone away somewhat. We'll get some funding, about a third of what we got in the past. While we're losing funding, as you can see, the number of calls we've received continues to increase every year.
Even though the slant goes on the chart.
The slant makes it look like everybody's slanting down. I guess this slide speaks for itself. It just is what it is. I just thought, before I finish and go on to the agencies, I did want to share with you, though, a little story about 211. It just kind of show, it isn't just people calling in and saying, oh, call here, or call there. We had someone call after the big heavy rains, and someone called who was disabled and owner and home, and the roof was leaking, and they couldn't stay in the house, and they really needed help. And a lot of people in this county had gone to surrounding counties to help. So the staff of 211 worked with this person all day. They found someone who would donate a tarp, and then they had to find someone who could go and put the tarp on the house. So they spent the whole day calling around trying to find someone, and being the community it is, someone donate, volunteered to go and do that for the person. That's why I tell this story. Yep.
Okay. I think I'm going to change the method here and take questions on the first part.
Okay. Why I tell that story is not only are they there for when people call in, but they also, it clearly identified where there's a gap in service, that there was no one or agency who could do that immediately for this person. Mm-hmm. So they are a really good program that helps identify where those gaps exist in the community.
Sorry.
That's okay. I thought it was my story. The guy.
questions on the Human Service Coalition part of the presentation. Will.
Kathy, tell us a little more about the move, how you're planning to pay for that, what you're anticipating the cost.
Well, as people probably know, that it's been a couple years coming, this. And no one was real positive that the tax credits would come into the community. So it was just last week, I keep looking at Carol's last week, that we found out that the INHS actually did get the tax credits. So I don't have a great answer for you on how we're intending to pay for this. We're not even sure where we're going to move yet. We had, as much as you know, looked at a couple options over this past year, and some of those don't exist anymore, so we're going to go back to some of the options we had looked at before and see what's available. I think there's some, but limited funding from HUD. They'll give you some moving expenses when a HUD project displaces you from where you are, but I believe it'll be a lot more than that, so. I don't have a good answer for that yet, first of all.
Okay. And secondly, I'm really thankful for the continuum of care. I'm sorry that it seems ridiculous that you're not getting administrative support. Did I hear correctly also that the total amount of money for all the programs that are affecting homeless is like half of what it used to be? Is that actually going down?
That was the, what I was referring to was some of the RM money. It was called the Housing First program. Mm-hmm. About 4 years ago, we got about $2.4 million in the community to deal with helping people stay in their homes. That money sunsetted, and what they did is they took, so they had a new formula. They threw about five different programs locally, so funding that went for the shelter, funding that went for that, funding with other things, all had to come together and submit a grant, and the total that all of those programs could ask for was $400,000, and that is very competitive. So we haven't heard yet what we'll actually get, but it's certainly going to be a lot less than all those programs got originally.
It's more like a million formally, right?
We had gotten, just for the housing part, $2.4 million. The shelter part had probably gotten another $500,000. So we work together, and we will continue, once we figure out what we get, to figure out how to provide the services we did with a whole lot more money under less funding.
Anyone else?
Yeah, you know, not everybody might have heard what you referred to about the tax credit project, because I don't know how much press it's gotten, but I don't know if you want to tell people.
Right, that was, I think it was 2 years ago, Ithaca Neighborhood Housing entered into agreement with the Women's Community Building to purchase Women's Community Building and do, I believe, 50 units of housing in that spot. There was the initial round when they applied for tax credits. They did not get them. They applied again, and they just heard that they did get them this time, so the project will move forward.
Yeah.
And I actually talked to Paul this afternoon, and he said,
I hope you told him I said hi.
The group that's dealing with it and its neighborhood housing is meeting within the next 2 weeks should actually have a timeline for when that project will move forward. So,
yeah. I might not talk to him for the next 2 years.
No.
So I had a thought about that as we were sitting here, but it's not my question. You know, the Women's Federation had decided well before that they had to get out of the business of building management
business.
And we're going to put the money instead towards grant making. So I just was sitting here making some connections, and I wonder if, in particular, the percentage of your operations that go towards assisting women in need, whether that would be a good opportunity.
Yeah,
that wasn't my question.
No.
So
it's
just a thought I'll throw out, since I lose them if I don't
throw
them out.
20 of 9.
My question had to do with your workshop series and the fact that you don't have an over-target request here for us. And heaven help us asking for over-target requests we don't already have gotten.
Carol, what's the question?
They were over-target requests that were recommended.
The workshop series, is there a charge for those to your member organizations?
Yes.
And is there any, do you hear from them that it's a hardship at all, or that in the upcoming period that's going to be a hardship, and ask for anything to do and to help them with capacity building to deal with the budget cuts that we are part of?
We try to keep the workshops affordable. That's one of our main goals. So we most of our workshops are under $50 because we understand the agencies are dealing with the same thing we are. But we also have a goal to make them self-sufficient within the next year or two, and that's our goal, and we'll let you know next year how we did with that goal. So we do raise it slightly, but we know, because if you saw the graph, there's a little dip. We found that there is a point where people they can't do it. It's too much. We learned some things in the third year about the amount of time and the amount of money that you can charge and help people. So
can you go back to that slide, please?
Can you go back to the slide?
Yeah,
Kathy,
I would suggest that that list of workshops that I saw the other morning at your meeting, maybe you'd want to email that list to
Carol. You know,
Carol,
actually,
Clark.
One of the reasons we put that together was so I could bring them here tonight until you brought that up.
I totally
forgot I was going to do
them.
That.
Go ahead.
I will do that.
Thank you.
Totally forgot that. Yeah.
So it looks like, although the number of workshops have increased, the average number of attendees have decreased.
Well, no. This is kind of, it's kind
is
of,
it?
It's the first year we did five, and we did like 3 and 4 sessions of each one. So we did 5 different workshops with a couple different sessions for each one. That's why it looks like there were a lot of people in each of those 5 workshops.
So my question, part of it is what Carol was asking, so I have that part. The other part of it is, what is that costing you, or is it a break-even point for you all?
We haven't broke even yet.
So you are in the red with these workshops that are being
offered. We do some of the funding that comes from the county to supplement staff time for these workshops. Mm-hmm. And as the number goes up, the amount of staff time that goes into them goes up also.
Right. And since you've began doing them, I know your goal and you're sticking to it. Have you seen any improvements with the agencies that are participating in these workshops that you can pinpoint and say, okay, this is working?
Two of the things that we focused on in the beginning, one of the things we focused on in the beginning was board development, mm-hmm. because that's what we had heard a lot about. And we realized that most agencies can teach the boards about themselves, about the agency, but really don't have a great time teaching about what the responsibility of board members are. I have anecdotal data. So we have trained, we just do board basics. We do it twice a year now. We have an accountant, an attorney, and somebody talk about just basic governance. I have watched boards that have had to make decisions during these hard times with either around executive director searches, around budgets, be able to, I think, make some hard and better
Thank
decisions.
You.
We're also doing some leadership training. One of the things that I noticed, because of the nature of our community, because there's a lot of smaller agencies and a lot of middle, we're not really developing our leaders locally to come up and take over for this generation that may retire eventually if the economy ever gets
except
better.
Except in solid waste.
When that happens,
they get younger.
There's going to be.
They're doing great.
So we're doing some leadership development training to make sure those leaders are around when we need them. So I think this is long-term development.
So I'd like to talk to you at some other point about what will be the sort of like the point where you say, okay, this is not, it's costing us too much at this point. So I can talk to you about that later.
Right. So we're going to break even, then it won't cost us.
Let me suggest that we go on to Human Services Coalition, community agencies, part of the budget. Mm-hmm.
I am ready.
You're on.
You're good.
These are the expenditures. This is basically the total expenditure is the city portion and the county portion that you see there. There are 17 agencies. The original one is the maintenance of effort, or whatever you call it, for the combined 17 agencies. They were the same 17 agencies. We didn't add any one this year that you saw listed individually last year. The bottom is one-time funding for Neighborhood Legal Services. Has gotten for many years $10,000, which supports their AmeriCorps volunteers. They now use 4 AmeriCorps volunteers they work just like staff in the office, and that supports them. And the other $12,941 is the one-time city sales tax. The adjustment. Just a little, there were $997,000 in requests for target funding from the different agencies, $9,000 of one-time funding. The review committee, which met through May and June, recommended $921,000 and asked, they came at the end, they are asking for an additional $30,000 to help meet some of the lost revenue that the agencies. I know you. I don't want to go over it. You people heard people speak very eloquently last night about some of the lost revenue for the agencies. There's been the amount of services people are asking to provide keeps going up. Their funding keeps going down. I think we just read in the paper the poverty rate is going up. It's gone up 5% in the past year. Unemployment is still high. And they are also facing increases in cost of doing business. They've reduced their staffing by approximately 10% since 2010. Layoffs and attrition. They cut back on their staff programming, They've cut back on space. They've cut back on their benefits. But I just wanted to also add that they continue to be very committed to providing the services that the county
depends on. This isn't on the slide. We'd like to say that they're cut back on their retirement, but there really isn't any retirement anyway, so there's not much to cut back.
Also, I'd like to just remind people that these aren't large agencies. Over half of the 17 agencies have five or fewer staff. So when you make a cut to an agency that has five or fewer staff, there really is nowhere to take that cut. There's only two agencies of the 17 that have over 10 people on staff. So there, you know, there's not a lot of wiggle room in these agencies when there's not a lot of money. So this is the $30,000 they requested, $25,000 across the agencies, and $5,000 for some of the agencies that really are seeing an increase in need from people. The county administrator recommended $15,000. I know this is a tough year. You know, if you see your way to any extra money, these agencies really could use. I'm, you know, very impressed. Agencies that took huge cuts, 60%, are pulling back and figuring out how to still continue to provide the core services that the community has come to depend on. So that, I believe, is the last slide. I knew we were on last, and I figured you didn't need to hear me talk a lot.
Any questions about that portion of the budget?
This is maybe a question just for Kevin. What page, where's the summary listing of the various agencies and the amounts? Am I missing it? What page?
Starting on section 4,
15-4. Any other questions?
Well, this is, again, a Kevin kind of question. Although there is text about each of the component agencies, there is no staffing information, the size of them. Kathy just referred to the variety of size, mostly small. And there's no sense of what their individual budgets are and what our percentage of their budget is. So is that somewhere else than?
That's in the program summaries. Just past the program descriptions are the program summaries, and the dollar amounts and the staff sizes are there.
So we've got to put them together that way.
I'll put together a full spreadsheet of them all, like you've seen in the past. I'll pull one of those together.
Any other questions?
They're on separate pages. So for the people we heard from last night, which was just a handful of them, there was a slight hint of what the dollar amounts needed might be, but for the individual agencies, you know what the individual ones need. You have apportioned them as you see best, which is what we want you to do. But having only heard from a few of them, I don't feel I have a complete picture of needs. Should I just assume that we heard from the only ones who were really, really hurting?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
you heard from two agencies that lost almost 60% of their funding, hundreds of thousands. CDRC and Women's Opportunity Center lost, you know, I believe Women's Opportunity Center lost close to 80-some percent of their funding. Other agencies have taken smaller hits. There are very few have taken no hit. There are agencies, and I think what makes this such a continuing process, there are a lot of agencies that still don't know what they're going to get. They're still waiting to hear about grants they wrote. They're still waiting to hear about what some of the governor's projects and proposals are going to do to their funding, the regional economic zones, and how funding is going to flow. So when you talk to them, and we try to talk to them continuously, they're still not sure what they're going to see for next year. It's very scary for them not to know, you know, what funding that just, I talked to an agency director the other day, he said, you know, we may get no funding with all the funding that is going to have to go to the areas that have been hit by the natural disasters. He said, that's going to come from somewhere. It could come right out of our pocket. The funding that keeps our doors open. So, you know.
Yeah, Frank.
Kathy, yep. In the recommended budget list for the agencies, the block entitled Human Services Coalition Community Agencies says, says for the 2012 funding cycle, there were $996,012 in requests for target funding in 17 different organizations and approximately 9,800 in one-time requests. The coalition recommended 928,478,30,000 additional. I've only been able to find 444,000 recommended. Is there? Where's the other $500,000? Is that a Kevin question?
Sure. I'm going to let Kevin answer it in a way that will probably make more sense to you than with, if I answer it.
Yeah, that's a combination of OAR and the community agency's total budget. And that's, so that's 766 plus OAR's budget, which is, help me,
162,442.
What's a combination, Kevin?
That nine.
If you look in the budget book.
I'm looking.
Okay. Let me get there.
Just tell me what page you're on.
I think he's not on there.
And what section you'll be on.
In section four. Page 35. And you see the expenditure? That's a total amount of money that Human Services Coalition Community Agencies receive the expenditure. The revenues in this sense is the city portion that's collected through sales tax. 25% of 1%. It's a long story. But that's sales tax money that is allocated to the city that then pays Human Services Coalition. Our contribution is the bottom line, which is that net local. But the total budget for Human Services Community Agencies is 766 for 2012.
Okay, great. Let me make sure I understand this.
So then you take that number and you add it to what we give to OAR. And that should be roughly what the recommendation came from the board.
Now you got to be even more confused. On page 35, forget the modified 2011. Go to the 2012 recommended. Expenditures, say 767.
Yep.
Revenues, 323.
Yep.
And the revenues at 323 are what you're saying is supplied by the city sales tax?
Yes.
And that leaves 444, which coincides with the recommended budget on the additional pages that we got.
Correct.
That's the amount that is being asked of the county?
Yes.
Okay, where do we tie that 444 in with the 996, or are we just assuming?
Right. Maybe I shouldn't have done this. I added an OAR because so our budget process is all
OAR is not getting.
But that's not our the 900,000 is not what the county's paying. That's what all of the agencies are receiving from Human Services Coalition. Only a portion of that is coming from county dollars.
This isn't any different than other years where it used to be about one-third, two-thirds. Now it's closer to, what was the last time? About, last year was 40% city, 60% county. This year it's a little bit, it's like 44, 56, something like that. It's part of the municipal sales tax agreement. That's the way it's been for about 13 years. So it's always a little confusing. The part that's the local share that you're voting on is always that, just the county portion. To make it a little more confusing is OAR does go through our process, but because they report to public safety and the other 17 agencies report to Health and Human Services, it's always two separate towers of money. We were trying to be efficient and thought maybe we could talk about all 18 of them together, and so Kathy thought it would be nice to put them all in there because that's how our review committee works. They look at the whole group. But that is why that one number is high for two reasons. It's because OAR is in there and because it includes the city sales tax.
And what number is that you're saying is high? The 444?
The 900.
Pick out the 900, right. That's everything. City and county, all 18 agencies.
City and county and the tax agreement, the sales
right.
tax agreement.
And OER is in there, too.
And OER.
And this is no change from the way you've done it for the last 20 years, right?
Jim,
okay.
It doesn't even
I just
matter.
Want to get
People
that.
Are trying to understand
right.
the
right.
numbers. That's what we're
okay.
trying to figure out, which number is which. We know this is the process is being. I know the sales tax agreement. We know that. It's just
right.
what number is what. That's all we're trying to clarify.
Right.
Brian.
Pass.
Anyone else?
I had my hand up earlier.
Sorry.
Kathy, the other agencies are aware of what the cuts are to their budgets from the county level.
Right.
They know what this is. Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Anyone else? OER?
You can let Deb do it. She's sat here for...
I was wondering what agency is. Go ahead, Kathy.
Can I ask one more question of Kathy? And
Kathy.
Well, if you hurry.
Or Kathy and Nancy?
Kathy. If you hurry.
Well, she needs to hear the question. Are there agencies we're going to hear from who are upset about, you know, how they fared in this year's process compared to what they got in the past?
No. I don't believe so.
Okay.
I mean, I
just yeah.
yeah
oh,
I
okay.
So.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Deb.
We have to stop meeting like this. I feel like I've been here every week now for the last
Bless your
few
heart.
Weeks here. It's so much fun. It's pretty self-explanatory about what we're looking at. This is the county administrator's recommended budget to you all. It's a much more modest cut than we had projected under the 11 or 18% cut. The first priority of the over-target request, number 56, would just restore staff hours. It would keep us... where we are
within the cap.
The additional 9,000 would allow us to maintain nearly the same number of service units. I just want to point out that funding at this level requires no salary increases for OER staff for the second year in a row and no enhanced benefits. And our benefit is health insurance. That is the only benefit that OER offers. And the county funding to OER has been reduced by $13,000 since 2009. I think someone asked, I think it may have been Dooley, about the staffing. We were at 4.8 staff people in 2009. We have been at 3.6 since 2010, early 2010. So that's basically what this does. And the county administrator did recommend... the over-target request of $9,351, which does go above your property tax cap. I think I showed the savings we realized the county through the bail fund last week, so that basically we net the county over the last several years, we've netted them about $1 million in savings and board outs. So I think that was the county administrator's reasoning. So I thank you all for listening to me 2 weeks in a row, and thank Kevin and Joe, too, for doing all this.
Well,
and maybe I want to thank you for sitting through and being the very last. It's an unenviable position. What are service units?
Oh, our service units?
Yeah.
We count those because we don't see... we break it down. Our kind of service units are like the number of bails we do. The number of applications for Medicaid that we may process for people. We track it all. If you're on the Public Safety Committee, you get a printout of those kinds of service units. We served, we last year provided 6,800 and some service units. Now, some of those are very easy to provide. They're not very staff intensive. They're providing writing supplies for inmates. Others are very, very time intensive, such as helping someone transitioning back into the community. So we just try to quantify. We dealt with about 1,231 individuals last year.
Anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
What?
Am I on? I did just want to say that. Carol asked for people upset. The $15,000 that wasn't recommended is the funding that would go to agencies like Catholic Charities. Mary Pat is back there. She's the interim director of Catholic Charities, because they have seen a tremendous increase in people coming and asking. Food pantries, loaves and fishes that you heard last night in Catholic Charities, that's what the extra funding was for. So, thank you for listening.
Frank?
I have a question for you.
Yeah?
Will you describe the procedure that we're going to follow if we'd like to recall a department or an agency?
Yeah, during voting meetings?
Oh. Well, is that when that will happen?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because some of us may have, after we study this.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Let me just say one thing. You have a ledge meeting scheduled for the 29th at 8:30. There's a WDIC meeting tomorrow afternoon. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
So moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Listen, thank you very much for hanging in for 35 extra minutes.